And grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And dear brothers and sisters in Christ, on this Reformation Sunday observed, we go back to the incredible events that transpired 501 years ago as Martin Luther posted those 95 theses to the church doors in Wittenberg, and posting those to try and develop dialogue within the church to confront some gross errors, false doctrine that was being promoted in the church, and most of all, the greatest false doctrine, that somehow we can save ourselves by the works that we do. And so for me, it's hard not to preach on the Romans text today, that we are justified by faith apart from the works of the law. But in light of the flavor of our culture and our current times, I felt, and as I feel, the Spirit led me to the Gospel of John this morning, to Jesus speaking about freedom. And so that's where I'd like us to go. And you know, this passage begins as Jesus approaches the Jews, and he says, "If you abide in my word, you truly are my disciples. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And so Jesus speaks of freedom. And you know, if you go online to the online dictionaries or you look at the Webster dictionary, it's kind of interesting how freedom is defined. And here's a dictionary definition: the power or right to act, speak, or think as one wants without hindrance or restraint. So there's a definition of freedom. And then another sub-definition is the state of not being imprisoned or enslaved. So we're going to kind of hang on to those definitions for a moment as we kind of approach how the Jews were looking at freedom. You know, Jesus comes to them and he says, "The truth will set you free." And you'd think there'd be all kinds of excitement and jubilation among the Jews hearing about freedom from Jesus who was preaching to them. But here's their response in verse 33 of our gospel reading. They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Interesting. But you know, the Jews, they were living in their national pride. It was more about their nation. It was more about this people set aside that they put their trust and pride in. In fact, one of their logos, slogans was, "We are children of kings, and we are the possessors of the law." They were very proud of that, that God had given to them the law in written form in the Ten Commandments. And they looked upon that as like their possession, even though they kept it or even if they didn't. But they saw that as their pledge of independence from all the other nations and their laws throughout the world. And even under the empires, and it's almost comical in a way. We've never been enslaved to anyone. Well, wait a minute. What about the Egyptians? What about the Babylonians? What about the Syrians? Oh, yeah, and right now, even as Jesus is dialoguing with them, they're under the authority and the power of another empire, the Roman Empire. And so the history of the Jews was enslavement after enslavement, but they looked upon that as just a transitory accident, that really these empires had no power or authority over them. And of course, they were looking for the Messiah. The Messiah promised, but they saw the Messiah as an earthly king, the new David with much greater power, and that he would rule an earthly king, kingdom and establish this kingdom that would be even much greater than David's and much more powerful, and they would reign on the earth with the Messiah who comes. But the reality is, as Jesus reveals it to them, they are slaves. They are enslaved and in the need of freedom. And what Jesus is speaking of is much deeper than their national view of things, but it's the heart, the sinful condition of the heart, and that needed to be resolved if they were to truly find freedom. But as we know, and following the Gospels, following the Jews at that time, their national pride stood between them and the Lord in following him. Well, that was then. What about among you and me today? How do you see freedom in your own personal life? In fact, as Jesus spoke those words to the Jews, do you think maybe our response might be the same? If you went out into the public square here in Greeley or the surrounding area, and you began to share with people about freedom, what do you think their responses may be? Many would say, well, what are you talking about? We live in the land of the free, right? We are Americans, and we're very proud of it, and I am proud to be an American. I'm very blessed to live in this nation in light of what the rest of the world looks like. But can our own national pride rise above the Lord reigning in our hearts and our lives? And in our nation, certainly, the world looks upon us, hey, there's the land of the free. And so if you go out in the public square and you share with people Jesus' words, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free, I think we'd have a lot of people look at us cross-eyed. You might want to try that this week. Just ask people, you know, what is freedom in your life, in the land of the free? Well, I think we have to be very careful with our own sinful pride. And we've grown up in a culture that basically says everything is kind of free, everything, whatever you want to pursue, you can do it, even at the expense of others. In this false sense and facade of freedom, if you will, we've got all kinds of ideas about that. As parenthood, as parents, I think of how parents are raising kids a lot of times today. It's turned from parents being the authority and telling their kids, you know, there's a lot of elements of, that they don't have freedom. For instance, we're going to go to church this morning. And we're not going to ask the kids if they want to go to church, right? But in this misplaced freedom of our current times, it's like, no, you should ask your kids, and if they don't want to come to church, they should have the freedom to say no. And what's tragic is these kids grow up, and then when they're under authority, like the police force or teachers or pastors, there's little or no respect for that authority either, because I have my freedom. And just think about what we are promoting in the land of the free. The things that are just predominant in our culture today, in many aspects of life. You know, basically, we're heading down a dangerous road of lawlessness, right? It's, I'm free to do about anything that I want to. I'm free to even break the law as long as I don't get caught doing it. And if you don't believe that, just drive out on the highways. And, I mean, the speed limit today is about 15 or 20 miles an hour over the posted speed limit, right? That's just what people do, and there's a willful breaking of the law. Or how about the use of drugs? And now in Colorado, we're even promoting more and more the legalization of various drugs in this state. There's a freedom. The freedom really to do what my mind wants to do, what my morals are for my life I can establish, and I should have the freedom to do that as an individual in the land of the free. And so what we see is we have the freedom for sexual relations outside of marriage. You know, a lot of times we hear the church, you know, really hammering down on the gay community, but think about all the people that are living together outside of marriage. It's the norm in our culture today, and people say, well, I have the freedom to do that. And divorce, we see that it is running rampant. Well, I have the freedom to divorce my spouse. If I don't like what they're doing or how they're looking or whatever, I have the freedom just to walk away from a marriage. And it's so easy in the freedoms of our land today. In the whole gay community, I have the freedom to marry someone of the same gender. And our nation is blessing that freedom. I have the freedom to take my own life, right? We have assisted suicide now that's legalized in a number of states, including the state of Colorado. I have the freedom to destroy another person's reputation. And well, in this election year again, that never happens, right? It's just sad to see what's going on out there in the public square and the campaign world, how ugly and dark and evil it's really become. But then you look at social media and freedom just to put whatever you want out there about another individual. Somebody's reputation can be destroyed in a moment today by sending something out through the internet. It goes viral all over the world instantly. I have the freedom to end that life that is in my womb. Why? Because my body, says many women. I have the freedom to do that. And again, this land of the free blesses that freedom. So if you go to somebody with Jesus' words, and Jesus says, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free, people are going to look at you probably quite cross-eyed. Most people think that this is all working great. We are free. But then look at Jesus' words in verse 34. Here's his response to the Jews' question. You know, we haven't been enslaved to anyone, Jesus. Why are you talking about the, you know, why we should be free? Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. Interesting. Many people would deny that there even is such a thing as sin. But here is the heart of the matter. It's in our hearts, and it's the issue of sin, and how do we free ourselves of that? And you know, sadly, the church in America in general has caved into the culture. The church is developing new theologies to embrace the sin that's expressed as freedom in the land of the free. And in doing that, many souls are being lost to the truth. But numbers are being gained oftentimes, and the church doesn't want to lose numbers, so we better water down the truth, right? In the land of the free. Well, that brings us back to the Word of God. Brings us back to the Reformation. In Luther's day, different than our day in a lot of respects, but still the same issue. What is the truth? What is law and gospel? Do we even acknowledge law and gospel? You see, in all of this discussion and freedom playing out in our culture, there's a huge missing element. Do you know what it is? It's truth. It's truth as God has revealed it. He is truth. And by the way, it's absolute truth. Throw that one out in the public square and see how far you get with that. Because that's absolutely laughed at today and denied and ignored. But it's this absolute truth that Jesus is speaking of when he says the truth will set you free. You see, apart from the truth, this absolute truth, which is the Holy Bible, the inerrant Word of God, without truth, there can be no freedom. And that's so important for us to know and to trust and to understand. And really, when you think about it, look at where the land of the free has taken us in many different avenues. First of all, there's definitely a promotion of greater sin, the endorsing of sin of many kinds. And we see what was shameful in decades past that's now looked upon as honorable, and we should embrace it. We see how Satan is reigning in this sense of the land of the free and just cheering on the work our culture is doing. And yet, have you ever thought about it? We're killing ourselves. We're literally killing ourselves in this freedom. You know that in World War II, during the Holocaust, the numbers that I found, there were about 6 million Jews that died in the Holocaust. Do you know how many young people have died since Roe versus Wade was legalized in the 70s? The low number is 42 million, and the high number is 60 million. In the land of the free, we are killing to make the Holocaust look like it was nothing. And then I looked at stats on drug abuse and how many people die from drugs. And each year it averages around 65,000 die from drugs. From alcohol abuse, it's nearly 88,000. And we hear all this discussion about the danger of somebody having a gun. And yes, we had a bad shooting in Pittsburgh again yesterday. But do you realize there are almost equal numbers of people that are killed by drunk drivers every year on our highways as compared to people killed by guns? And yet I hear very little about that issue or concern over it. But we see what this freedom is doing. And then stress-related deaths is like 110 million on average, is what the medical world is saying. And so living in the land of the free, where we think we can do anything, it's killing us. And oh yeah, by the way, death is kind of an issue, isn't it? Because if we buy into this system of freedom without truth, it's going to be very short-lived. And we still have looming over us the reality that we're going to die, right? And many people ignore it. Most people just don't want to think about it at all. And yet, it's a reality. We are going to die. And then what? We can't, by our own power and strength, overcome that one. Without the truth, we are slaves. And in this nation, as the truth is further and further pushed away, we become more and more enslaved. It's kind of ironic, isn't it? The land of the free is one of the greatest lands of slavery in the world. Perhaps we should listen to Jesus' word. If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Martin Luther lived enslaved to the law. He lived enslaved to guilt. And then by God's grace, through Father Staupitz and others, Luther came to know the freedom of the grace of God. And his life was changed forever, literally. And you and I, as God's children of faith, we too, through the waters of baptism, through hearing the truth, have been brought into this freedom that only the Son of God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, can provide for us and has. And we know that Jesus did that by becoming true man. He came to fulfill the law that condemns us, and by the way, that you and I could never fulfill. We fall short. And then Jesus even goes the way of the cross. And there he covers all of our sin. He pays the punishment that you and I deserve, which is hell for eternity. And Jesus took all of God's wrath upon himself at the cross. Don't you love those words from the cross? It is finished. Everything necessary for salvation, everything necessary then for freedom, true freedom, has been accomplished by Jesus, who, by the way, as he states of himself in John 14, later in this gospel, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." But isn't that awesome? Jesus acknowledges, reveals himself to be the truth. And he's the one who also says, "The truth shall set you free." You know, in the end of Luke's gospel, Luke chapter 24, Jesus, in dialoguing with the apostles just before he ascends into heaven, endorses the entire Old Testament. Written word of God, and in that word revealing to them that the main theme of the Old Testament, of God's word, was pointing to the Messiah, to Jesus. And then we hear in John's gospel, the end of his gospel, John chapter 20, about Jesus doing many other miracles and so forth, but these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And so the endorsement of the Gospels, of the New Testament, that God's Word in its entirety, yes, indeed, is absolute truth. It is absolutely trustworthy, and it's only in the truth that we can truly be free. And freedom is a wonderful thing. When we are free from guilt and shame and condemnation, and we live in the favor of God. You know, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, again, God endorsing his word through his word, "All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work." If God's word wasn't absolute, it wouldn't be useful for any of those things. We couldn't trust it. But God emphasizing that this is the truth. And it's the truth that changes our lives and enhances the freedom that is in our possession. Remember Jesus in the wilderness when Satan tempted him severely? And remember Satan's, boy, he's talking about freedom to Jesus, right? And so he comes to Jesus. Jesus has been fasting for 40 days. And, "Hey, Jesus, you can turn those stones into bread. You know, there's freedom, right? I can have what I want, and I can have it right now." But what does Jesus say? "It is written." Jesus instantly goes to the written word of God. He, the word that came and dwelt among us in the flesh, quotes his own word from the Old Testament to Satan. "It is written." And then Satan says, you know, "Well, Jesus, go up on this high point and throw yourself down. There's freedom, because everybody's going to want to follow you then." And again, Jesus confronts Satan. "It is written." And he quotes from the scriptures to reveal that that's not God's will. And then remember, Satan said, "Hey, Jesus, you can have everything." Takes him up on a high point. "All of this world is yours." There's freedom again, right? Land of the free, it's all yours. And then Jesus looks at Satan and says, "It is written. You know, you should worship the Lord your God alone." And so the inerrant word of God, we have freedom and we live in his favor now. And what a different life. We are free to serve the Almighty God. You know, in Ephesians 2:10, we see these words, that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, to do good works, and look at that, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So We don't do works to try and justify ourselves before God. We don't do works to try and gain freedom. No, we already have God's favor. We already live in the freedom that He bestows upon us. We live in the security of everlasting life. And the Lord honors us and says, I want to include you in the work of this kingdom. And so we are honored and blessed by God to have purpose and direction in our lives. That's true freedom. And then in Hebrews 11, you might want to read this whole chapter when you go home today, but Hebrews 11, incredible chapter. In verse 13, we hear about the church of the past. It's kind of like walking through a museum, a historical museum about the church of the past, and the Lord's walking us through this. But notice he speaks of the people of faith then as being strangers and exiles on the earth. You know, that word stranger in the Greek means literally passing through. Some translations have sojourner. And so this isn't our home. We don't put our roots down here. We're simply on a journey. We're traveling through life on this earth with the freedom God gives us. And then in Hebrews 11, verse 16, we hear about where we're headed, and it's to heaven. And God talks about, you know, if they were looking for a country they could return to that was on this earth, they would have went back, but they're looking for a better country, and that is a heavenly one, which means the freedom of everlasting life. And that's who we are as God's people. So dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we live in very dangerous times spiritually, in the land of the free. But may we be God's people as He has called us to be. May we have our focus in His truth, the Word, as we've been blessed to do here this morning in worship and Bible study, but as we live it every day, and may we use the opportunities the Lord provides to share it, to bring to others where true freedom can be found. And a good starting point is the land of the free. Got common ground to start with there. But then to reveal what that freedom is. You will know the truth, says Jesus, and the truth will set you free. Luther was set free, and many others that followed in the faith set free as you and I are. And we pray many more will be. In the name of the one who establishes freedom, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds always in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.